The last couple of weeks, I've looked like that. It's all this stuff is in my head, and I don't know what to do with it. So I come and do a talk at Unity North, and we have therapy, yes? No. You know, I'm really grateful today. I was thinking as I prepared for this message about, I love being a dad. Now all my kids are grown up, but I love bad dad jokes, don't you? It was like they laugh and they think you're funny until they're about 8 or 9, and then you're really not funny. But then you have grandkids, and then you can do stupid dad jokes. And one of the things I love to do is to pull a quarter out of my grandkids' ears. Make a quarter disappear, a little sleight of hand, and look, there it is in your ear. And they giggle, and they're so excited with the illusion that's been created. And I thought about that today, because that's what we do here. We come together as family and community to deal with the illusions, to empty out the things between our ears that are in the way of truth. And we all, anybody hold a story that is not founded in truth? We all have it. Let's just get honest with each other. That the work that we do here is we come together to hold each other accountable to truth, to the awareness of everything we talk about every single Sunday from this platform, every class, every meditation. We pull things out of our ears, and it is pulling out the illusion. Got to empty out the inside of our head one quarter at a time, or on behalf of the board of directors, $100 bill at a time. One illusion at a time. You know, there are neighborhoods inside of us, maybe it's just me, I don't know, where even we are afraid to walk. It feels good on Sunday, but there are neighborhoods inside the city of my consciousness where I am afraid to walk. Streets that are lined with dualistic, outdated ideas. Dark alleys that are filled with anger and resentment. And just when we're not paying attention, here they come. It's like, oh, where did this come from? So I'm going to get real with you today. Wow, some anger, it comes up. And what we do sometimes in New Thought is, that's not positive. Let me put it down. Let me ignore that it's happening. But when we empty out the inside of our head, we say we're welcoming the environment to go, let me look at what's there that needs to be addressed. These boarded up windows of judgment and disappointment that exist within all of us individually and collectively. Abandoned buildings that are labeled pain, core wounds. I don't want to look at those walls of consciousness that have graffiti written all over them. You can't trust anybody. That was a core wound I had to process many years ago, and it still, every once in a while, comes back up again. You can't trust people. The world is dangerous. Life is against you. And then I come and I have to stand here and go, okay, I have to espouse, no, that life is for you. And I cannot do that with any integrity if I have not processed that which is within me that still exists from when I was 10, or when I was 5, or when I was 25. It's still there. We carry these inner streets, don't we? Everywhere we go, because they're at a subconscious level, we don't even know that we're carrying these streets into every environment where we find ourselves. We smile at church. We smile at each other, and it feels good, and there's a riot raging on the inside because it's, oh, let's just be in pretense and not responsibility. I love being part of a community where it can be real, the divine and the human, all together in an amazing melting pot of humanity and spirit as one, not as separate entities. If you can't bring your humanity into this room, then run as fast as you can away. This is a safe temple where you can bring your humanity, and it is honored on the altar of our becoming, on the altar of our awareness and our safety and our forgiveness of self and others. We sing songs, let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. And inside there is a war that is being raged at a subconscious level. We're protecting and praying for transformation while protecting the toxic thoughts that need to be addressed. Breathe, everybody. I said we're safe here. We're going to just put it out there. I'll put my guts on the table. You put your guts on the table. And somehow we become a little bit closer to the Christ that we talk about. To the Christ that we sing about. All those dishes in the sink that the song talked about. We're going to do some dishes today. Are we good with that? You know, we have these ideas of transformation while protecting the very feelings that we don't want to look at, and then we wonder, why is life so heavy? Does anybody else recognize that life collectively is pretty heavy right now? Let's just get real. It feels a little oppressive. And that has nothing to do with any political side of an aisle. It has to do with the consciousness that's running the entire country, that's running the entire system of our humanity. So we got to empty out the inside of our heads, not decorate it, not perfume it, put a couple of, you know, little plug-ins in the to pretend it's pretty and wonderful, not cover it up with a bunch of affirmations on the mirror or a bunch of wonderful, beautiful quotes that make us feel good to cover up the toxic mold that's in the house. We say, let's deal with it. Empty it out. Clean the house. Clean the street in front of your house. This is responsibility over pretense. Say that with me. This is responsibility over pretense. Sometimes new thought gets a bad rap that we're all about pretending. It's beautiful, it's wonderful, it's sunshine, it's rainbows. But the reality is, there's stuff to deal with. And it's a holy experience, a sacred experience to deal with it as one. Anybody ever clean a house by yourself and it feels like it takes forever? Are you going to do your backyard and it's like, God, this is just arduous work. And then the same work, I go to somebody else's house and there's five guys from Unity North cleaning the yard and it's like, this is fun. This is joyous. Or you go clean somebody's house who needs a little bit of help and you're doing it together. It's suddenly that which was arduous becomes fun, becomes full of joy. And the collective energy is amplified and increased. That's what we do here. We're putting the guts on the table to do the cleaning up work, and it can be fun. I don't want to be a wet blanket today. I want to say, welcome to the house. Let's get busy. Jesus puts his whole idea this way. Let's go ahead and read this quote together. Oh, that's not the one I wanted. That's the slide I wanted. This is good, but I didn't have Jesus' quote. He said, you can't pour new wine into old wine skins. It spoils the wine. Duh. But so many of us are coming to a new thought church. I want a new thought. I want a new idea, but I really don't want to deal with the old thoughts that are there. I don't want to release them. Paul said, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, not renewing of your environment. Not the renewing of the experiences in the government or in the country, by the renewing of your mind, of my mind, of our mind. Old containers cannot hold new ideas, plain and simple, right? Old consciousness cannot hold new thoughts. Some of us are asking, please, God, deliver the new Jerusalem. I want the new Jerusalem, the city of peace, but I really still want to walk down inside the old Jerusalem of duality. I want the new, but I'm not willing to do the work. We want resurrection without release. Plain and simple. Anybody been there? I want the resurrection, but I don't want to let go of what I need to let go of. I want healing without surrender. I want peace without the excavation work that has to be done. There's an old cartoon that I just love, and you please do it with me. In the cartoon, they say, how many people want change? How many people here want change? We all want change. It can be better. That's why you came here today. But in the cartoon, it says, how many people want to change? And all the hands go down. We're not willing to do what it takes individually for the collective to grow. Sometimes the holiest and most sacred thing that we can do is evict the thoughts that have overstayed their welcome. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Say that with me. Be ye transformed by the renewing. At first service, John Teal Robinson, I just love this. She was telling a story, and I asked her if I could repeat it at second service. Sorry, I haven't been drinking. And she said she went really early to the Kroger, the local Kroger store, and she's a black woman, so there is some history here. At 7 o'clock in the morning, they opened the doors, and she went and got everything she needed at the grocery store, and she went to the self-service checkout. Beep, beep, beep. And then she noticed that there was the attendant watching her. Beep. And the attendant got a little closer, looking over her shoulder. Beep. Well, what began to happen He said John Till got very angry, got very, very upset. She thinks I'm trying to steal something. Beep, beep, beep. And the anger and the story about why this woman was watching her with every step got more and more intense within her. And then finally, when she just felt like she was going to burst, the woman finally tapped her on the shoulder and said, "Excuse me, honey, I think you've been overcharged. I think that you've paid too much for what you're getting." How many of us are living our lives angry about somebody, something, and it's actually costing us a great deal? Beep, beep, beep. We're unconsciously going through life buying whatever happens to be coming out of our mind, and we're not paying attention, and we're overpaying for the life that we have been given. The story she was running on the inside was not even close to the truth, but it was a story that needed to be addressed. In that moment, it was healed when this very kind attendant said, "Excuse me, let me take care of you. Let me be present with you." You know, some beliefs are living rent-free in our consciousness, and they're destroying the neighborhood of our soul. Let's just get real. They're living rent-free between our ears, and they're destroying the soul of unity, of our oneness. Not because we are evil. Not because we are bad, but because bitterness has become normalized. Breathe that in. Bitterness has become normalized. Judgment has become conversational. Have you noticed this? If you want to get into a good conversation, just make a comment about somebody else. Triangulation takes over, and you can find 100 people that will join you in how you've been wronged, that will join you in your victim story. 100 people that will want to get into the conversation of why they are bad. Fear has become the architecture of our human race, and suspicion has become our security system. What's the opposite of suspicion? There it is. Give them a lollipop. Right now, the call and the cleaning is to find a level of trust, to find the trust and the faith that is the foundation of everything we teach, everything that unity is about. We've lost it, but we haven't lost it completely because it's still within us, but we must cultivate it by clearing the way, by making the way clear. Unity teaches us that thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. Say that with me. Thoughts held in mind reproduce after their kind. Plain and simple, we've all heard it 100 times, but they are reproducing like rabbits. You think it's no big thing, I had a negative thought, I allow it into the mind, and it's like a rabbit, and we all know what rabbits do. Next thing you know, you've got 500 thoughts bouncing. So where do they reproduce? And that's not a rhetorical question, I want to hear from you. Thoughts are reproducing after their kind. Where are they reproducing? Yes, yes, yes. Yes. You allow it into your head, it's going to reproduce in your head. More thoughts are going to follow it. And if you don't pay attention to the thoughts and clean out the head, guess where they're going to reproduce? In your body. Your body, this great thermometer, is saying, you need to pay attention. Anybody catch yourself holding your breath? I always love it when I get anywhere near a yoga teacher. The first thing, I say hi and they go, breathe. Breathe. The first step to freedom, the first step to releasing and emptying out the inside is to simply breathe and realize that we're holding tension in our bodies. And if you don't pay attention to your body, well, will it show up? It's going to show up in your actions. And I've had to examine my actions because I was holding that tension based on a thought. And if you don't examine your actions, where does it show up next? In your life. Plain and simple. If I believe that Beverly is against me long enough, she will eventually show up the way I think that she is against me. If I believe that Bill Ernst is out to get me long enough, or that we are separate beings and we are not brothers, we are not sisters, eventually that idea is going to play out in my life. First in your body, because you're out of congruity with truth, because you didn't empty out the inside of the head, then it's going to show up in your field. Be aware. If our inner world is filled with hostility, what are you going to get? Hostility. It's from the Fantastics. Plant a radish, get a radish. Maybe you'll get two or three. What are we planting when nobody is looking? Oh, at church on Sunday, it's sweet and it's nice. And then we go out there and we plant hostility. And we're planting resentment. And we're wondering, why is it I'm getting these things back at me? The reality is you plant shame, loathing, blame, and fear. What exactly do you think is going to grow there? Jesus absolutely knew this. Let's put the next quote up there. About figs? I know it's there. Nope. That's a really good quote, though. Well, keep it up there. One of these days, I'm going to get real straight with the quotes, with the slides that I create. And I went through with Annie Ellis. I said, what slides did I create? And we went through it line by line. And then it's like, this is not anybody's fault in the booth. This is mine not paying attention. But Jesus said this, figs don't grow from thorns. Say that with me. Figs don't grow from thorns, nor grapes from a bramble bush. Peace doesn't grow from panic. Peace doesn't grow from judgment or blame. Love doesn't grow from resentment. And now the quote that you see before you. Together, we keep trying to build heaven using the materials of hell. How's that working for you? It's a lot like saying that I'm going to drink poison hoping somebody else will die. The reality is we're trying to build the new Jerusalem and we're using stinking thinking. It's based on an old wound. Bring the wound up and let's deal with it together. We're not doing this because we're bad people. We're doing it because fear is running the ship. Pain has become familiar. What does that take from us? To see somebody's behavior and go, beneath the surface, there's pain going on here. What does that take from us? It takes compassion. It takes suspending, emptying out the judgment in my head and to find beneath the surface somebody who has forgotten. Is that easy to do? There's nothing easy about it. And I get it. Familiar can feel safer, doesn't it? Doesn't it feel safer? I don't want to leave the comfort zone. I'm good here. So I'm going to hang on to my story. I'm going to hang on to my duality because I know it. But Spirit is calling us to a higher order, a higher truth. A higher awareness. How do we do that? Regular inventory. Regular self-inventory. Regular life inventory. I don't like what life is showing me. Guess who is responsible for changing it? Who wants change? Who wants to change? I want to be the reality of fear, of love, not fear. Man, there's a Freudian slip if I ever saw one. Here's something I've learned, that eventually the story that I refuse to release becomes the cage I'm living inside. The story that I am no longer willing to give up is the cage that now I am living inside. I am the creator of my own reality. Some of us are not suffering from what happened, but from the core wound that was never addressed. It's holy work to bring to the altar your guts. And what you're working on. It's become our identity. Okay, I'm ready to give up my identity, and that is scary as hell, isn't it? At some point, we have to ask the question, how much do I really want transformation? Ask yourself that question. How uncomfortable are you willing to get for the transformation that we talk about and sing about every week? I got to empty out the inside of my head. Healing requires vacancy. Healing requires vacancy. The streets need cleaning. In many spiritual circles, and I know there's a slide for this one because Danielle and I went over it. In many circles, it's called the purification of consciousness. It's called dying to the old self. It's fearless moral inventory. Read the rest with me. Cognitive reframing, denying error and affirming truth, clearing the cobwebs from between our ears. That's Charles Fillmore. He said, you got to clear out the cobwebs. That's denial. And it took me years and years and years to understand denial. It didn't make sense to me. It felt negative. I am denying that what happened to me has any power over me. I'm denying that this story is who I am. I'm denying that this experience is who I am. But I don't care what you call this process. It is a natural organic process and necessary process of letting go and emptying out the inside of our heads. A fearful mind will spread fear. When you watch the news, what mind are you watching with? An angry mind will spread anger. That's not a theory. I've lived it. I've demonstrated it. I got the t-shirt and I proved it. A liberated soul will spread freedom. A liberated soul will spread freedom. You know, I don't think it's any accident if you examine anything of Jesus' life that he healed minds before he went to the condition. He spent time in the energy of healing what was going on between the ears of those asking for healing long before the healing ever happened physically. We've put the cart before the horse. I want the healing. I want the New Jerusalem, but I'm not willing to do the work. Go back and read all of the healing stories in the Bible with new eyes, with new ears. And look, Jesus is talking about consciousness first, and then the experience follows the reality between our ears. What I'm calling for, the band can come up now. What I'm calling for right now is the world needs people whose inner landscape has become inhabitable by love again. Read that with me. The world needs people whose inner landscape has become inhabitable by love again, not just when it's convenient, not just when it's working the way I think it should work. This is spiritual law 24/7. 365. People whose minds have become safe places again for compassion, forgiveness, empathy, tenderness, and love. And that is not easy. This is not easy work. We're not a feel-good church. We're about feeling the difficult so that we can feel good on the other side. When we empty out the inside of our head, Unity calls it chemicalization. Everything that's within you is going to come up and say, are you really convicted about the New Jerusalem? Are you really convicted about the love that you want? And yes, the work we do here for an hour and 15, 20 minutes feels good. But that's why I say every week it must go out those doors. And you must be courageous and heroic enough as that monster comes up to say, I'm not going to waver from my mission for the container of love that needs expression. How do we do that? Self-inventory and one choice after another. The most powerful tool on the planet, your ability to choose love when fear would be easier. Your ability to choose love when anger would be easier, when judgment would be easier. That's emptying out. And if you go to the anger, anybody, my friend Ken Swinford, I remember him coming into a men's group, and he said, I get it. I finally get it. The reason I get angry is because I'm just really comfortable with that. I've spent my whole life getting comfortable with anger. I'm saying as a community and a family, let's get comfortable with loving when nobody else is loving. Let's get comfortable with finding oneness when nobody else can find it. Is that possible? When you're in a conversation, and it's all hate and duality, and the old Jerusalem is absolutely on display. Is it possible that you can be the change agent? I want you to get in touch with the courageous. Yes, not, well, I think so. Yeah, it sounds like a good idea. When a little music maestro would be great. One of the most extraordinary examples of this kind of inner liberation, one of my heroes, is Nelson Mandela. Nelson Mandela spent 27 years falsely imprisoned. Most people would understand if he came out furious, pissed off, bitter, vengeful, armed for war. He could have created a war. Yet when he finally walked free from the prison, he said something that shook my world. And I think shook the soul of the world that we live in today. This is what he said. Let's read it together. As I walked out the door toward the gate that would lead to my freedom, I knew if I didn't leave my bitterness and hatred behind, I'd still be in prison. Some of us come to the new thought. I want a new thought, and you haven't had a new thought in 10 years. And then you put the new thought in there, and it dies. because it's an old container. Nelson Mandela led the way. We can be externally free and have all the luxuries of the world. I look at the face of the planet right now. We're the fattest cats on the planet, wealthy beyond measure, and we're fighting and tearing each other down. I cannot and will not participate with that. I want to be the new Jerusalem, even when it is hard. We're still giving yesterday authority over today, and the time has come for that to stop. Mandela realized that true freedom demanded emptying out, not pretending that injustice did not happen. This is not about pretense, but it's refusing to let hatred become the permanent tenet of his soul. We, as a community, refuse to let hatred and anger and judgment take up residence in our soul. That's spiritual mastery. Jesus taught the very same principle when he said in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12. Do we have that one? Nope. I know we have this one. I'm going to tell you what he said. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Say that with me. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. There it is. And so the question of the day is, what are you full of? I've been told this week and the last that I was full of a lot of stuff that I cannot say in church. Good. I want to take that. The cobras in my life. The cobras, C-O-B-R-A, cut out the bull right away. To call me out in a community of family, to call me out in a community of people facing the same direction and saying, what are you full of? Let it be love. And we're doing this not just individually, we are doing it collectively. And when we clean the house, there's more joy. So welcome to my house. Let's clean it up. Call me over to your house. Let's clean it up. If we are not mindful, the streets of collective consciousness become places where nobody feels safe. And I think we're darn close to that. But we're not too far away that we cannot turn the boat around. Maybe the real need of our time on this planet today is those who take responsibility for cleaning the street in front of their house. And then house by house, community by community, the city becomes a safer, more beautiful, and loving place to live. Doing that honors Jesus. Doing that honors Nelson Mandela. Doing that honors the New Jerusalem. Doing that honors you, your visions and your dreams. Doing that honors us when we take the time to pull out a heck of a lot more than quarters out of our ear, but pull out that which is the very block to the New Jerusalem, to the love that we all seek. I'm in. Are you in? Let me hear you say it. I'm in. I'm in it for the long haul. I'm in it even when it's difficult. I'm in it even when I stutter. I'm in it even when you're not in it. That's the work of unity. That's the work we're doing here. Show up, suit up, and be involved as we clean the next city. Thank you, thank you, thank you.